realize my arms aren't as long as I thought they were.
The themes that we're looking at, the themes they want us to write about for the community is the origins, if you want to know any. And if you want to speak Aleutic, that's perfectly fine. The place, Akyak is a place and what it means to you. The seasons, and what you used to do in Akyak growing up, and the years. The living world, what it means to you around, being around your grandparents, you being around your mom, growing up in Akyak. The economy, fishing, trapping, reindeer herding, the family, what family means to you and the importance of family, and then the community. And the eighth one is ritual. Any types of, like, the Orthodox faith and traditional religion things that you might have remembered somebody telling you about, like Hina or Maskak, or how you treat a bear, or how you treat animals. And so these are the different themes that we're going to try to cover. And with that, I'm going to step back and do the recording. And April will be doing the main interviews. But I want to say thank you for your time. And thank you for coming down.
And
I'm looking forward to this. We have to have most of this stuff done by August. Yeah, my stomach's on the floor.
Okay.
Yeah, so we might end up coming back or just coming visit you at the house. But it's, as we said, it's $50 for half day, $100 for the full day. Because we got a budget, but the budget's, it's not very big for what we need to be able to do. So, any questions? No? All right, so you don't mind if we videotape and record?
Don't mind it.
Okay.
The net food show with you, nobody.
Okay.
Oh, you good boot man, don't boot my name.
Okay. Well, it looks like I'm going to have to stop this for a second and give you a new battery. I don't want the double A. I've got one here. I've got some
here.
More.
Okay, and what I'd like to do is start with this video recorder. If you could just say your name and your age.
Phyllis Peterson from Akyak. I'm 71 years old.
Jenny Zeter. I live in Kodiak, but I'm from Akyak. I'm 72 years old.
My name is Irene Coyle. I'm from Akyak. I think I'm 57 years old.
Okay, and then you are?
Chimai, I'm April Lactonin Counselor. I'm originally from Larson Bay. Now I live in Kodiak, and I'm 25 years old.
Oh,
the person
yeah.
behind the camera is Sven Hawkinson, and I'm 37 years old. Do that again.
Yeah. Oh, well, you're not recording?
Okay. Good.
Practice.
Good. Yeah, that was good practice. Vasilisa, you're originally from Kabul.
Okay, so again.
Good. That was a good one. That was good practice.
Yeah. Oh, and one thing we're doing in this project is, it's kind of like Akyak, but we're also recognizing how people from Kuguyak became part of the community.
Mm-hmm.
We'll probably be asking a little bit about Kuguyak as well. And how it happened that Kuguyak got abandoned.
Okay.
Yeah.
And who are you?
My. My name is Phyllis Peterson. I am from Kuguyak. They call Kuguyak and Kamiyak. I am 71 years old.
I'm Jenny Zeter. I'm originally from Karluk and live in Kodiak and 72 years old.
My name is Irene Coyle. I'm from Akyak. Jenny Zeter is my mother. I am 57 years old. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
Okay. Woohoo.
Are you sure, Brian?
I got it this time.
Okay. Kidaka?
Kidaka.
All right. Well, first, now the first question is about origin stories. Now, in some of the other places in Alaska, they have like a legend about how the people came to be in a certain village or in a certain island or something like that. And from what we have found, we haven't found any real legends from Kodiak about how people came to be here. Have any of you heard any stories from a long time ago that explain how people came to Kodiak?
Not me. I don't know.
My grandfather always talked spiritually, so he never mentioned anything about legends. And I've never heard anybody else talk about that we've come from animals or we're from monkeys or something like that.
Okay, so most of what people from Akiak believe nowadays comes from like the Russian Orthodox Church, would you say, or from various other Christian beliefs?
Yeah, it's been passed down.
Okay. So I'm going to go to each of you one by one and ask you the question, what does Akiak mean to you? So first I'll start with Phyllis. Phyllis, when you think about Akiak, what does Akiak mean to you? Why is it a special place?
Because Akiak is bitten and you don't starve forever. You want to go pick up what you're eating. It's not far like where I used to live in Kaguya. Mm-hmm. That food, the one we're eating, is close by to us. It's a special place like where I used to live. Mm. You know, I love it.
Okay. And Jenny, what does Akiak mean to you? Why is, in your mind, is it a special place?
It was a home to me. My father built a home for us. I lived there for how many years, I don't know. Like I said, I was originally from Karluk, but we moved there in 1939 when I was 8 years old. And I learned to live in that village among a lot of people, like elder people that'll teach you everything. Never went hungry. Minus Tiger, everybody's down the beach.
Lots getting, of clams?
Yes.
These days no more. I was in Akiak trying to tell the boys to get something. No.
Is it because of the paralytic shellfish poisoning?
They're just can, you know, they're not like before. Mm. You have to shovel them to let them go. Before, man, once you tell them, are they going to go together, work together? Store food, we're losing our food.
Irene, when you think about Akiak as a place, why is it special to you?
I was born there. That's not special to me. And I was raised most of my young childhood life in Akiak, mostly raised by my grandparents. And they provided a lot of subsistence foods. They purchased groceries by the lots in the fall so that they'll last all winter. And I never had to carry any wood in Akiak, but in Mosier Bay in the summertime we burned wood. But the food is abundant. You could just walk up to your berries and you could walk to your clams and you could dry the fish right there. And salted bear, I remembered once that I had when I was young. Tasted good, it was sweet. So, yeah, I remember that part. So, the subsistence food is what I remember most about Akiak, and the closeness of the people when there was abundance of foods, they'd share it.
Okay. My next question is about the land around Akiak and where people would get their resources. And Phyllis, maybe you can talk a little bit about Kuguyak and the areas around Kuguyak that your family would gather berries and clams and other kinds of foods from the land. Were there certain areas that you went all the time?
It's not far, but like in Akiak, you just walk maybe a mile, get your food, berries, little ways to go up to that little hill. Cranberries, salmon berries, blackberries, all kinds. What we're eating, it's not far for us to get them. If you want to go on the skiff, it's not far to get your food. Just go out to head it and get your sea line, or on your way back, if you want seal, and stop rocks and get your seal. Now seals and sea line too, they're changed like us. Hard to get them. Same thing with ducks. Akiak used to have a lot of blue, Niskatuck, mallard, go behind our house in the evening, whole bunch of them right there. 2 winters I stay now, my boys try no more mallards. Mm. No, we have to go away up into Olga Bay and get saltwater ducks. Everything changed these days, the way I see. We're losing our food the one we used to eat.
So what are some of your favorite native foods?
Akuduck, fried fish, smoked salmon, sea lion flippers, man. I like my salt fish, fried fish.
Could make a whole list, huh?
Could make a whole list.
Jenny, how about you? What are some of your favorite foods, and where did you guys gather them when you were younger?
Just go down the beach in the Pakeak, and there was all kinds of seafood, even bullheads. Mm. And you just flip a whole bunch of grass, and there's herring eggs. Mixed with pink salmon eggs. Haku dung yak. Octopus, clams.
Padarkis,
oodooks, snipes. My dad used to let us go get snipes, and we used to have to get a whole bunch of them. They're so tiny.
Last time that my boys went and did me padarkis. I cook them and slice them and jar them and pour some stink oil. Every night I sit down and watch TV. I eat it just like a popcorn. Man, delicious. Make you hungry, huh?
Yeah.
In my time when I was growing up, we didn't have no TV. We had a radio. When we hear country and Western music in radio is very good.
Irene, how about you? What are some of your favorite native foods, and where would you gather them when you were younger?
Tamok, Sulunak,
Palik.
Palik, yeah, and ducks, sea lion flippers. They were harvested, you know, like all the rest of our food, you know, it would be, and I like seal fat too, okokok. It's prepared, you know, you cut the fat so that there is no meat or water. You just cut the fat and then you chop it up and then you store it. Mm. That's how you prepare the fat.
Kind of so, like kimak, but from
yeah,
a seal?
Mm-hmm. Mm. So it doesn't get rancid or spoiled. I like my salmon berries. I like blackberries. You can just walk up on the hill to get those during harvest time. Cranberries, you walk up on the hill to make jam, cranberry jam. and tohkut just naptakat na tos tohkut
akakuit
tohkut hoktupluskant
eh
tohkut tupluskant dinina
amahayat
amahayat tohkut ya make jam out of those are really good.
They're sour berries.
Akakuit good for jam.
Those little yellow ones. The cloudberries.
I haven't seen Puyuknets for ever since I left Kaguyak as a young girl. Like clams too.
Okay, well next we're going to talk about the seasons. So this time I'll start with Irene and work my way back this way so you don't have to be last every time. So I'm just going to ask you guys what you did during different parts of the year. Like, did you live in Akiak the whole year, or did you go to fish camps and stuff like that?
When I was growing up, my grandpa was a, he worked with the canneries as a carpenter. So we moved in the summertime up to Moser Bay so he could take a job there. And in the fall, we'd pitch a tent and go get fish and do our fish for the winter time. Springtime, we'd get ready to just put up some more fish. But in the summertime, my grandpa worked over at Moser Bay, so we moved in summertime. But we more or less stayed in the village a lot because we never thought about traveling on the airplane. It wasn't, you know, something that we were accustomed to or didn't have a need for. So just on skiffs were the way our kayaks, you know, to travel.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Jenny, how about you? Did your family move around during different parts of the year and go to different camps, or did you stay mostly in the village?
Yeah, my parents had my father, when he went hunting, he used to go various places, like Ayakulik. Mm-hmm. And we used to live in Carmel. We were from Carlo, always walking, or else a boat. He used to have a boat that used to go pat. Dad's coming home. And Dad used to always like to get logs. That was our heat.
Where was the best place to get logs at?
Beaches. You know, when tide comes in, the logs drift in and they pull them in and tie them. And then when they dry up, they saw them, chop them up. Mm. We never knew anything about oil stoves then.
A lot of hard work, huh? Mm-hmm. Hey, Phyllis?
Same stories.
Same stories? Was there any special place you went for a fish camp or anything like that?
I don't hardly remember then. Beach sailing, that's all we used to go to. Dead Man Bay. My father used to beach sailing. Awatak, I think. All summer long. Through the fall, August, maybe we go back. We used the boat to go back home. And the skiff. Oh, I hardly remember. In Akaguyak, we never used to go. But the man go over us, we stay home.
Okay. The next section is on the living world, like the land and the animals. And I'll start with Irene again. Irene, was there anything that your parents or grandparents or relatives taught you about living from the land, like respect for animals and that kind of thing?
Well, back then, you know, we weren't concerned about protecting anything because we weren't touched by it. But my grandpa only took what we needed, and whatever was, you know, whoever needed from the land, they'd get some, especially for elders. And I think, you know, I think our people, the Sukhchitun, were very intelligent in that area because they were very disciplined in taking care of our land and our food. Nothing was wasted. Even if we had clamshells, they would use them for decorations on the road. So nothing was wasted.
Okay. Jenny, same question. Was there anything that your parents, grandparents, or relatives taught you about living from the land, like respecting the animals and that kind of thing?
Well, as a girl, I never used to go hunting, but men and young boys used to always go hunting for food.
Was there any certain traditions they had? Like, I heard from some people that they had to keep their bullets away from the house or their guns away from the house or something
yes.
like that?
I remember that part, yes.
Mm. Do you know why?
I never know why.
Okay.
They just kept it away from girls.
Okay. Now, the next question is about the outside world when you guys were growing up. I'll start with Phyllis this time. Like, how often did supplies come to the village when you were growing up, and what kind of concept did you have about life outside the village?
We have to make supplies our own for the winter. What could we eat? That's all I remember. In summertime, you know, my dad, winter supplies they could get, how they could last us through the winter. After they done that, then we go by the creek and splitting fish and salt fish, smoked salmon, 300-500 at a time, so
wow.
They could last us whole winter, and see the lakes, dig the ground, big box of eggs, and they could last us for whole winter.
Do you remember how to prepare those?
They call them puhribak. They dig the ground just like a refrigerator.
Uh-huh. How deep would it go down?
They just dig the ground like a square box. You know, winter time they put box or some kind of so
wood
the
around
mud won't
it.
Fall mm-hmm. into like a box. Winter time, they stay under there just like refrigerator, nice and cold. It won't freeze there. Just keep them there.
Mm. How did the eggs survive?
Oh,
you're talking seagull eggs.
Winter long, you'll have seagull eggs.
Mm. They don't.
No.
That's amazing that they didn't go bad.
Mm-hmm.
Must have been a very good system.
Just like you buy them stores, we put first, then you put grass, then eggs like that.
Do you put eggs, grass, eggs, grass, eggs, grass later?
That's what my dad used to do. They last us all winter long.
There's nothing special at all that you do in the preparation of the box or anything?
Mm-hmm.
When's the best time to get seagull eggs?
By now, I think, boys,
yes.
You
yeah.
know what I'm
yeah.
seeing
yeah.
late.
Yeah.
Boiled fish and
with
seagull eggs.
So good
with
bread.
Mm. Just make myself.
With allergics.
Uh-huh. Yeah. What kind of foods would you guys be preparing now, this time of year? Or getting ready to prepare?
Too early.
Too early?
Too
no,
fresh.
Smoked salmon.
Oh, we could make smoked salmon now in the clinic. Now.
But they're still kind of oily, you know, fat.
And they rot faster then?
Well, no, they don't. They just, when they get dry, they get, how you call that?
You call it
They always get covered with
mold.
Mm. Oh, so if you wait till they're a little bit
too
older,
fat,
they don't mold like that?
No, hardly.
It's good to
when
know.
When I make smoked salmon now, I have to cut them and let the fat drip or take their stomachs off. Mm-hmm. It won't be too fat.
Mm-hmm. Umadak.
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 Umadak is the fat in the belly?
It's the whole fish that you'd half dry,
uh-huh.
And then
half
you boil
dry.
It.
Umadak.
Umadak.
I can't wait to get fish to make umadak.
Me too.
And they did with macaroni.
Umadak with macaroni.
Put a little
lots
seal
of
oil in it.
What about boiled fish eggs?
Oh, got along with them.
That used to be my favorite when I was little, boiled fish eggs. I'd ask for it on my birthday.
But I would, just like my mom, I have to wait till they get a little unfresh, too fresh right now.
I see somebody must have bring me some. I see some in my freezer.
Oh.
So, Jenny, when you were younger in Akiak, how often did, like, boats from the outside world come to the village, or how often did supplies come? Was it once a year or twice?
Once a year.
Once a year. And what kinds of, would they bring mail and stuff like that, or just food?
Most likely food. You know, like, in the fall, while they're still working in canneries, they would bring supplies. And then the fishermen that are working would make a whole big list for winter supply. And if that's not enough, then when they go back, wherever they came from, bring more supplies, like canned food and potatoes, but my mom used to do her own plant
gardens.
Mm. She did her own potatoes, cabbage, carrots. And we used to have to work the whole big garden in Carlock, pulling weeds all morning.
And did they put seaweed on it for fertilizer? Or
yes, they did. I used to wonder how come they're bringing these things from the beach. And later I found out they were good for the garden.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that kind of a day today.
No.
Like they did in Carlock.
Yeah, most people
They just grew their own.
How you call a garden in Aleutic?
Nootstut.
My sister and I used to like to go weed the whole garden. We never had paper towels, but we used to have cloths, you know, tear a piece of cloth and put salt in there, put in our pocket. Sit in the garden and eat a whole lot of tomatoes.
We was bad in the gardens.
Carrots.
Make our own root underneath the grass so we could grow into that garden small potatoes.
And then my parents and Babu Kanguk, you know, the midwives. We used to call them Baba because how come these girls are not even hungry? They're not even eating. Then they find out that we were out there in the garden eating potatoes and tomatoes and carrots.
We tried to be smart, the leaves tail on us, so we stick that leaf after we took the potato. The leaves just keep dying. We tend to be smart, but the leaves tail on us.
Irene, how about you? Did you, what do you know about, like, when supplies would come to the village and stuff like that a long time ago?
Supplies for me were directly from the store. So I didn't, you know, I recall when we had fresh fruit, you know, there was a boat that went around the island for us to purchase fresh fruit, but no, I don't recall any ship coming around for supplies.
Okay. So next we're going to talk about the economy in Akiak. Some of the things that people have mentioned before were fishing, hunting and trapping, and subsistence, like just what people would do to support their families. So will each of you, I'll start with Irene this time. Will you just tell me a little bit about the different kinds of things your family would do throughout the year to support yourselves?
I'm a little bit too young to know what happened, you know, in the economy department, except, you know, I know that when I was starting to go to school, you know, I heard my uncle talk about weasel traps, and that was about the only thing that I could recall, you know, and for economy and fishing. Mm. Fishing.
Okay.
Fishing was our most
the big money maker.
Yeah, that was the only thing that I could recall.
Okay. Jenny, how about you? How did, when you were growing up, how did the families support themselves?
My dad used to do a lot of trapping. Foxes, all kinds of foxes. Mm. And weasels. Just to get money coming. Where they sold them, I don't know. I was too young to remember. But I do know he did a lot of trapping.
Did he trap around the village, or did he have a special place he went to?
The most part where he did go trapping was Carmel, between Karluk and Akiak, or Noah. Mm-hmm. There was Karluk, Carmel, Larsen Bay. They used to go around the island. That area, like Akiak, Karluk, Carmel, Ayakulik, to go hunting where there's better hunting, I guess. Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like the men really traveled around a lot more than the women back
yes,
in those days?
By land, yes. Walking, most likely.
Mm-hmm. I used to hear about how the men, they would go out trapping, and then, but when they're next to another village, they'd go to a party or a dance over there. Did people come from other villages to go to dances in Akiak?
I don't know. I was too young to know. But I do know they were hunters.
Sometimes,
yeah, they used to invite each other at certain times. And then when they get weathered in, those hunters used to come to Akiak, and they used to end up having dances. Yes.
Okay.
Okay, hunting and fishing mostly? Okay. The next section is on family. I'll start with Phyllis. Phyllis, will you just tell me, who's it was in your family and who you're related to in Akiak and Kuguyak? You don't have to give me the whole thing because that could probably take a year. But just like the main families that your family is related to.
Just my family, I know why we were there, but from my parents. Mm. Oh. And I don't know my grandma. I know my grandpa. He died, was 99 years old, and my uncle. Before I really come true to die. Mm. I think he used to help. He never used to tell me, though, you know, through the family.
Yeah. What was your parents' names?
walk there and do Niamelvida. Mm. The Melvidas was a big family, you know, brothers and sisters. That's what my dad used to say. I don't know about my mom. I don't remember. I was 8, maybe 8.5 years old, because I seen her in the coffin. That's all I remember. I remember her. Used to feed us. And I love her too much, but I... Before I really come through, she died. Mm. My dad raised us. And we were small.
Okay. Jenny, will you tell me a little bit about your family?
My mom was from Karluk. My dad was from Chiknik. I don't know my grandparents. Just the adopted grandfather, Frank Peterson. Mm-hmm. He married my grandma, and I don't remember her. And that's how we got our name, Peterson.
Oh, I see.
So I don't remember any of my grandparents.
How many kids did you have?
Me?
You and your husband?
Nine.
Mm-hmm.
Nine?
Mom. Mommy had three families.
Senapond and I had 9 kids, I think.
Wow.
9 or 10. I lost count.
So how big is your family?
Some are diseased. I had 14 kids.
14 kids? And how many kids they have?
Oh, I don't know.
You should find out, because it's always fun to tell
you should
people
count
how many grandkids you got. Mm. Great grandkids.
Too many.
My granddaughter Daniela always tell me how many kids I have and how many grandchildren I have. I said, that much already. So I never even remember how many count there is. But I'm glad to be a grandma.
Yeah.
I love kids.
What was it like raising 10 kids in Akiak?
Tired.
Yeah.
You got to have a nice brave to handle those.
Yeah.
You have to use a washboard to do your laundry.
Yeah.
You have to carry your own water, heat it. And that was a lot of work.
A lot of time washing clothes, huh?
In a tub and a washboard.
Yeah, I remember the washboards myself.
Kneading down, scrubbing the pants on the ground. Went someplace last time. Let me see, tub, and me and somebody went some store. We see some tubs and we couldn't see no washboard. Must be hard to. I was gonna buy them, I don't care how much they are. We found and see some tubs.
We were happy to get a gas washer. That was a very, very big thing when my mom first got a gas washing machine.
When was that? Do you remember?
Oh, wow, way back in 47. That was the first time I ever seen a washer. In the fall of 47, my dad bought one. Him and Uncle Larry bought one same year. And they were very happy to get one like that, so we don't have to go turning a wringer after doing wash, scrubbing and everything. But it was easier for her mom, I guess, to do all that. And then to get electric plug-in kind like today, washer and dryer, you
push the button, everything is done themselves. The way we used to go, no, nobody won't do it these days. Never. Kinglings in the morning, cold weather, trying to light the stove, and hard times.
Did you guys go out to get wood and stuff with your dad and your brothers?
No.
When it's nice, I used to.
Yeah.
No, I don't remember going out with my father, no. But when he brings them in, he used to teach us how to saw and make kindling woods after kindling woods.
All day long.
And, I loved it.
I used to love it.
I used to too.
Yeah. Lots of exercise back then. Outside all the time.
The boys were too young, you know, and there were more three of us girls that were old enough to do that kind of a job. But my sister and I used to be the ones that used to love sawing wood and chopping wood.
Tingling. Get them ready for in the morning.
For that banya.
Mm-hmm.
Just out of curiosity, did you guys go hiking back in behind the mountains?
Mm-hmm.
You
did?
Yes.
You guys had no problems doing that? Did they tell you about a hulak or anything like that?
We never even thought about
it. They were scaring us and think, we don't care.
Okay, do you remember stories about a hulak?
I do have lots of women old harper.
No.
Maybe that's what John got lots of them things
yeah,
to get.
Yeah, lots. Yeah, I heard lots of stories of growing up, but this is curious if you guys heard them down there.
In my time, yes, I used to hear a hulak, a hulak. What is a hulak? But we were not to say a hulak. So I don't know why.
The people used to run away.
The elder people, like mushroom cooking, buki, what a hulali khachtan nilo. Don't mention a hulak.
The person like that. When they're hungry, they just run away to that other village and get.
They used to say lost people.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know where they're going.
Especially the when they don't.
Runaways.
Have parents or no relatives. Nobody want to take care of them right. Some of them hate them. They just make up their mind that they need to go.
Wasalisa, ako lam katang siyadin.
Yeah, I know, however. And akiyak do, they take me to all the airstrip.
Kanak do siya?
No, I didn't really look at it. You know, when I came from Georgia 9th January, when they used to put mascara again. When Apama and Catherine was alive. You know,
Nunyami.
Apama's little
shell. Kasukuk me.
I came from Georgia's after they invited me to drink tea around 7. And of course, the kids want to go movies to Georgia's. I went home and passed at Apama's house and the and I hear somebody coming out from there. I didn't pay attention. I thought, what old man was coming up or he locked up his door. I walking up by Fred's, the boardwalk. First boardwalk, seems like it's somebody behind me making noise that gravel. And I look back on this side. Somebody following me like that. Just black, you know, red.
You couldn't
No, what do I do? Are you guys masquerade thing? Don't dance on me. The witch from Fritz. I keep looking. Who are you? Guinness. But and I said, turn around, and then I lost him. He ran towards to the beach. And after that, I don't know where I went. 7 o'clock, 7:30, I come through before they made the airstrip. Way up and the hell out there, end of the way out there when I fell down to the puddle. 7:30 in the morning in January. I look around, where in the hell am I? I hear there's water down there. And I see the lights turn around, I run home, board. I don't care. I got hurt or not, I run home. I died too, you know, from the beach to the angels. And now in old harbor, they used to take the people there. Same thing in Portage Bay. Maybe that's why John got lost. His friends took him. Used to be lots before. The people never have phone, home. Nobody loved them. They just took off. That's what they used to say, my grandpa.
And they become a whole lot.
Well, what about the Sungchuks? The little people, did you guys ever talk about that in Akiak?
They used to be the Kukuiak used to have some.
Little people? Were they like leprechauns?
I don't
know. I never experienced them.
Oh.
Boy, they're loud. They used to go from the beach to the dog.
Were they yelling or what?
I think they're just talking, you know, but they're gonna do it. My grandpa had that little spear where they used to go right away after they hear them where they're hiking. Sometimes they drop their spears or little packs, trying to find those. Where they drop them, so if they found one, you're rich. When you go hunting all winter long, you get anything you want. That's what they used to do.
I wonder Uncle Joe used to say lots about those.
They used to be, they never let us. They used to go end up the beach where they used to walk, hiking. Grandpa, well, that big whale they kill, them little bone arrow.
What story is that one? I've heard that story, but do you remember?
What's that?
The one where the little people got the whale.
Oh, just spear them, I think. I don't think they're little kayaks. My grandpa used to found some. Little kayaks and sometimes two persons and one person. I think they're traveling all over to kill the whales from the little spears. I don't know from where they come from though.
Yeah. Well, that's the first time I've heard that one. I mean, I've read about it, but I haven't heard about it.
They used to have something in Kukuiak. I heard them once.
Uncle Joe used to tell us that some of them were good luck and some of them were bad luck. I think he had experienced, you know, he used to be so lucky. He used to be the last one to make a haul, and he'd make a big haul. I don't know, one time when I went with my husband fishing, he told me, you watch the wheel. I said, what if I drift out? He said, no, you won't. We'll anchor you. So they went ashore. He followed Uncle Joe. And he told me in Aleut, he said, I'm not going to let Uncle Joe get the best of me. I'm going to do whatever he does. I said, go ahead, but don't forget me. So I sat in a wheel upstairs, you know, and forgot why it was Marjorie B. or Harmony or whichever one it was. And there was Uncle Joe making a haul, and made a darn good haul. And Sonophone went right behind him and made the same haul, and they both got the same good haul. And boy, did they work fast. And it was a good experience for me because I never did go out fishing, and I never did run a boat. But when I learned to run a boat, I said, let's do it again.
What kind of stories did Uncle Joe tell you about Sungjuks?
He never told me anything about Sungjuks, but he used to tell me that he had good luck of some kind.
Did that listen?
He never told us about anything, just said that if my luck is with me today, I'll make a good haul, you know, like in Aleut, he'll tell us. And then my husband would say, yeah, yeah, yeah. And by golly, he would do what he says. But sometimes he used to tell my husband, if I make a haul and get a good haul, you go right behind me full speed and you'll make the same haul. But one time I think he made a mistake and went the wrong way, and he tried again. It used to be interesting to watch those guys, Victor, Joe, and Sonophone, and Innocenti, just do things right behind each other. And they used to do a very good job.
They used to fish right between the rocks.
Right.
Nobody would figure out how to fish where they were fishing.
Nope.
That's what Fred said.
Yeah, that was Ripter's saying to me, that was Ripper's saying.
Well, we only have a couple of sections left, and I was thinking maybe we should take a little break, refill our coffee and stuff.
Da go ga good pa marken kila gama anek doya do.
A correction here. That's it. Now when he, Jolly
Irene, maybe I can photocopy that that paper when you're before we leave or something. Okay.
This is taken from Jiffler sent this to me back in I had the date on here. I think it was 86.
About
1880? 1992.
Their dink were grown. There's a lot of Aleut songs for Christmas.
Yeah.
Are forgotten because they don't sing them.
I know. Do
you guys have any other songs, either Christmas or not Christmas, you'd like to share? We could, if even just one of you wants to sing, we can record just one of you. Or if you want to do it again as a group?
I can't even think of any.
That is easy. Tukun, tukun, tuknil kolugu, chalik kongunil ngudungu ambak cakak luki. Christos was Christ, Semetri us mer papra, Isus temarabese wadarawa. How's that?
Hey, Jenny, what about that song that you sang with Mary during those Northern Forums about my boyfriend is going away, what am I going to do now? Remember that one where she was talking about how the women would sit on the beach and after their men would go away and they would be sad?
We're getting more.
Your dad used to sing why unahuni akayut ataman kwanguta unguk kilahme. That's the Lord's Prayer. Just in kangia me neat kianga.
Oh, you're starting.
Our Father who art in heaven.
Oh, Janas.
Alutichtun.
Ochinas. Our Father.
Dokna Ochinas.
Our Father. No. Yeah.
Ochinas, why? Just.
Yeah, that's our Father.
Kasagatstun Ochinas. Alutichtun.
I don't know Ochinas.
Me too. I don't know.
I don't know. I know how it's a panic.
Adakta Tukumako.
If I could find that down, Klep nas nasus neem das namnes, yos davinam dolkina asi, inivitina swayes kusini, nais pavina sadluka,
boy, my throat is bad.
Pardon my throat. Our Father and
heaven.
Dan presta kagayo, dan presta kasmengo, dan presta nagwengo, nakiki good one good.
I would run away with
it. It's been a long time since I heard that one.
Dan kris kar do kwer ngor nak sek gut kwang guta. Holy God.
Well, how much time do you guys have left?
I don't got much time. Maybe you die, getting tired.
You guys schedule a time next week to come and visit again? Let's stop now.
Yeah.
And
I go to Zinke on the 3rd.
Okay. So, do you guys want to get together on Tuesday, next Tuesday?
What is Tuesday?
Lashuaka.
What is today?
Today's the 27th.
It's the 2nd. No, it's the 1st. June 1st, I think.
Oh, June 20. Huh? Mm-hmm. Today's Thursday, 27th. Bishop.
Kina.
Bishop.
Oh, you see, common or so cocktail naked.
Oh, this must be old.
Oh, no, look, I know. 50 days coming on Monday. Okay.
26
minutes. I guess I don't need to tie you up after
so
all. We're not going
to
do any more today.
Okay.
So you guys
want to
get together again
on June 1st? Me kazakhto azakhjevok Tuesday.
If you guys want to, I'm okay with me.
Tuesday.
If I don't end up with babysitting.
No,
June 1st. You don't. Don't babysit.
No babysitting.
I love that.
Ashrilok Kaukan Asechikokka.
Hawaii babysit.
Boy, I love that.
Hawaii.
Come and watch me then.